Will you please turn to the Gospel according to Luke? Luke chapter 12, verse 32. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it has been the good pleasure of your Father to give you the kingdom. Daniel chapter 7. The book of Daniel chapter 7. We read from verse 13 through verse 18. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, there came with the clouds of heaven one like a son of man. And he came up even to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was grieved in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the certainty of all this. And he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four or four kings, that shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the most high places shall receive the kingdom, and they shall possess the kingdom forever, even to the ages of ages. The Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 14. And these glad tidings of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole habitable earth for a witness to all the nations, and then shall come the end. And finally, Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18, verse 19, and verse 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus coming up spoke to them, saying, All power has been given me in heaven and upon earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have enjoined you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather together for the last time in this conference, we want to give thanks unto Thee. Thou hast been good to us. We praise and thank Thee that Thou hast gathered us from all places together, that we may meet together before Thee and in the name of Thy Son, our Lord Jesus. And we do praise and thank Thee for Thy presence with us, for Thy blessing upon us. So, Father, in this last session, we just want to bow down and worship Thee, that our God is really good. Oh, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou dost promise us that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. So we just come again this morning, committed last time into Thy hands. We pray that by Thy Spirit Thou wilt sum up all things and bring us to a higher plan, that we may walk forward and onward towards the goal. We just commit this time into Thy hands. We trust Thy Holy Spirit to illumine Thy Word, to make Thy Word living to us, life and spirit to us, Lord. Without Thy speaking, Lord, everything will be in vain, but thank and praise Thee that with Thy speaking to our heart, Thou art able to accomplish Thy purpose. So we just commit this time into Thy hands and trust Thee for it. And to thee be the glory, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We believe that the kingdom of God is very much upon the heart of God. It is conceived in God's mind, or we may say in His heart, even before He began creation. It is with a kingdom in view that He created the universe. He created all things according to His character. And then He ruled over all according to His character. This is His kingdom, the kingdom of God. Even though there were rebellions, not only among the angelic beings, but also even in man, nevertheless, the heavens do rule. The Lord teaches His people to pray. We who are redeemed by the precious blood, we who have been delivered out of the power of darkness and be translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, He wants us to pray, Thy kingdom come. But as we pray, Thy kingdom come, it is not with the idea that we are praying for the coming of the kingdom in the distant future. We are praying for something that is entirely, totally outside of us. But actually we find when the Lord exhort us to pray that prayer, Thy kingdom come, He wants that kingdom to come now and here in us and among us. We are very much involved in this kingdom. This morning, as we conclude this subject, I have to say that the kingdom of God is such a tremendous theme, subject in the Word of God that we just cannot finish it in four sessions. As a matter of fact, I feel that we are just touching it very lightly. And I do believe that there is much, much more that the Spirit of God will teach us in the days to come. So I do pray to the Lord that He will continue to search our hearts, to stir our spirit, and continue to reveal His kingdom to us, that more and more His kingdom may be in us. As a matter of fact, how much we are in the kingdom of God depends on how much the kingdom is within us. And may our lives upon this earth be such that we really hasten the coming of that kingdom upon this earth. So this morning we would like to share together on this matter of the saints shall possess the kingdom. Our Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek. The word seek is very special. It means that after we have heard or we have seen something of the meaning of the kingdom of God, something of the nature of that kingdom, then we are exhorted to seek after it. We cannot just hear about it and then forget it altogether. We have to apply ourselves in diligently searching and seeking after it. The very word seek implies to put our heart into it. It means that we have to search for it with diligence. It means that we are determined to pay any cost to get it. We will not be turned aside or turned away from it until we find it. Seek, and ye shall find. So we are exhorted by our Lord Himself to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But we know we are living in a very hostile world. Even though the Lord has delivered us out of the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, and yet we are still living in this world. We are living in a world that the prince, the ruler of this world, is the enemy of God. So we find that he is trying every way to compromise us, to pressure us, to destroy us. The things of this world, the cares of this world, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall be clothed with, these are very real to us. And we find that they are pressing upon us, trying to take our time away for God, trying to take our energy away from God, trying even to take our heart away from God. Everything in this world, everything around us, seems to be trying to take us out of the kingdom of God and draw us back into the kingdom of Satan. We are under great pressure. And more than that, we find that not only we have enemies, as it were, all around us, we find enemy even within us. We find that a battle is going on within us. The kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of God. And sometimes we find the battle is so fierce, we wonder whether we will survive. How can we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Thank God our Lord Jesus, after He has exhorted us to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He said, "Fear not, little flock. It has been the good pleasure of the Father to give you the kingdom." Brothers and sisters, what a comfort it is. You know, when we see the kingdom of God and we realize what the kingdom is, and when we understand how important it is to God and to us, brothers and sisters, is it not that we begin to be afraid? We are apprehensive whether this kingdom of God will be a reality in our life. Whether we will be in God's hand to bring in His kingdom. We find that we are so weak, so fragile, we tend to fall. How can we fulfill that mission that God has entrusted to us individually and as the church? But the Lord Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock." You know, little flock, actually is just another name for the church. Because so far as the people of God are concerned, so far as the church is concerned, we are like a little flock in comparison with the population of the world. The world is full of people. And yet God has taken some people out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people, and brought them together under the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, this people is just a little flock. And this little flock actually lives among wolves. How can we survive? How can we stand as witness to the kingdom of God? How can we maintain the testimony of the kingdom? Fear not, little flock, for it has been the good pleasure of your Father to give you the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, in one sense, as if we have to seek, we have to fight, we have to win the kingdom, but in another sense, we find that the Father has already given it to us. And it is the good pleasure of the Father to give us the kingdom. A good father always gives the best to his children. Our Heavenly Father, it is his will, it is his delight to give us the kingdom. He has given it to us. He sent his Son into this world to recapture that kingdom for us. He put his Holy Spirit in us to bring us into all the realities of the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, God is working for us. And if God is for us, who can stand against us? Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord said, fear not, little flock. It has been the good pleasure of the Father to give you the kingdom. Daniel is the prophet of the kingdom. We know Daniel most likely came from a royal family of Judah. If he does not come from the direct line of the royal family, at least he comes from the nobility. Daniel came from a royal family of Judah. But he was taken as a hostage, a captive, in his young years. He was brought into Babylon, but there you'll find in the sovereignty of God, he became the governor, one of the governors of the greatest empire in the world at that time. He was to be made the prime minister of the great empire. Again, you'll find his whole life is connected with government. His whole life is connected with dominion. His whole life is connected with kingdom. Daniel, from chapter 1 through chapter 6, that speaks of his public history. So far as his public history is concerned, we find how he was determined not to be polluted. He wanted to keep himself pure for God. In other words, the kingdom of God was upon him. Even though Israel as a nation had failed, and the government of this earth has passed on to the hands of the Gentiles, and yet you find in that one man, the kingdom of God still exists. In that one man, the heavens still rule. In that one man, the personal rule of God is most evident. He determined to keep himself pure for for God. And God kept him. God bless him. God use him to be a witness and a testimony of the kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdom of the world. So that's what we find from the first six chapters of the book of Daniel. He began in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He continued on even to Darius, the Middle Persian king, and even to the reign of Cyrus. And then when you come to Daniel from chapter 7 through chapter 12, it really is a private history of Daniel. And there you'll find in chapter 7, he saw night visions. And in the night visions he saw, the wind was blowing upon the sea, and four great beasts came out of the sea. And he saw one beast after another, and in the last beast, he saw there was a little horn. And finally, he saw in the night visions, the thrones were set up. And the Ancient of Days took his place on the throne. And there he began to judge the world. Then in the night vision, he saw one like a son of man. He was led to the Ancient of Days. And to him was given dominion, a kingdom, that all peoples, all nations will come under his rule, under his dominion. Now that was the night vision he saw. And Daniel wanted to understand this vision. So he inquired. And he was told. The four beasts are the four kings. You know, actually, the vision that God gave to Daniel in chapter 7 is the same dream that God gave to King Nebuchadnezzar. To King Nebuchadnezzar, he saw a huge man, a superman. He saw a man with golden head, with silver breast and arms, with brass bellies, and with iron feet, and with legs, and with feet, partly of iron and partly of clay. And as he saw that immense image, you find suddenly a stone, not cut out with hand, fell upon that image, and that whole image was smashed and disappeared, and this stone grew and filled the whole earth. Now that was the vision given to Nebuchadnezzar. But to Daniel, you'll find the same vision was repeated, but in a very different way. Why? Because from the human standpoint, we think of this world, the empires of this world, the government of this world. We think of them as a human image. Glorious, strong, powerful. But the governments, the empires, the kingdoms of this world, so far as God's view is concerned, they are like wild beasts. So to Daniel, the times of the Gentiles, the government of this world, in the hands of man, are just like governed by great beasts, destroying, killing each other. But then you'll find, in both visions, in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, a living stone. In the vision given to Daniel, he saw one like a son of man. Now we all know who the son of man is. It is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw that in the end, one day, Christ shall inherit the world. Why? Because he is worthy. We mentioned yesterday morning that when our Lord Jesus was upon this earth, he is the kingdom of God on this earth. We find that throughout the life of our Lord Jesus, God is all and all in him. We find how he repudiated this other world, this other kingdom. He will have nothing to do with that kingdom. Even though it was offered to him, he rejected it. And because he rejected that kingdom, he was put out. He was crucified. Away with him. And yet you find on the very cross, he spoiled the principalities and the authorities, and he made a public show of them. His victory was complete. That is to say, on the cross, he taken the kingdom out of the hand of the enemy, recaptured it. To whom does he give that kingdom? After our Lord Jesus recaptured that kingdom, taking it out of the hand of the strong man, then we find he gave that kingdom to his church. He has redeemed a people. He has given his life to that people. The Spirit of God dwells in that people and among them. And now the Lord said, you are my kingdom upon this earth. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down upon 120 people, as we have mentioned more than once, these 120 people, they were 120 individuals, individual believers, even though probably they were the best. A congregation of 120 members. And I do believe that if you have such a congregation, probably you will feel so happy. You will think, well, what else can you have? But God is not satisfied with that. So here you'll find the Holy Spirit came down upon 120, and in one spirit they were baptized into one body. One body of 120 members. And it is to that body Christ entrusted his kingdom. He said, you are my kingdom. Now, go out and preach the good tidings of the kingdom of God. What is the church? The church is the embodiment of the kingdom of God on earth today. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. Two or three. The minimum of plurality. Where two or three? Anywhere. Gathered together, assembled together. They are not each going his or her own way as individual believers. You know, if we stand as individual believers, all scattered, then the enemy is able to pick us off one by one. We will find we do not have that strength to resist the kingdom of darkness and to usher in the kingdom of God. So it is the will of God to assemble us together unto my name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And you know what that means? It means that we who call upon that name, we put ourselves under the authority of that name. We take upon us His name. Our names are nothing. But His name becomes everything. You know, it is like in a wedding. You find that when a woman is married to a man, it is the custom that from that day onward, you find that she drops her name, her family name, and she takes up the name, the family name of her husband. And what does it mean? It means that from now on, the head of the family is who the name is. When we gather together unto the name of the Lord Jesus, we drop our names. That is to say, we lay down our rights. We lay down our authority. And we take Him as our head. We submit ourselves to His rulership. And when we are doing that, the Lord said, I am in the midst of you. The Pharisees asked the Lord, when will the kingdom of God come? How does it come? Where? And the Lord said, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. You cannot say here or there, but the kingdom of God in the midst of you. Dear brothers and sisters, what is the church? The church is a people assembled unto the name of the Lord Jesus. The church is a body submitted, joined to the head. And hold fast the head. That is the church. And if this is what the church is, then this is also what the kingdom of God is. So in a sense, in spiritual reality, the church today is the kingdom of God on earth. Unfortunately, this doesn't seem to be true. We find that among God's people, how they are scattered, pick up, pick out, pick off, one by one, and we find that God's people are not assembled under that name. The Lordship of Christ is overlooked. Man began to rule. The kingdom of God, the testimony of the kingdom of God, suffers. The church is the embodiment of the kingdom. D. Here you find in the book of Daniel, the Son of Man came, and a kingdom was given to him. In other words, it is because of the finished work of Christ. It is because of his victory in his life, and on the cross in his death, and by his resurrection. And if you read the book of Revelation chapter 5, I always think that Revelation chapter 5 actually is a review of the ascension of our Lord Jesus. No one has ever seen what happened when the Lord ascended and arrived heaven. You know, these disciples, they saw him going up from the Mount of Olives. They saw him taken away by a cloud. They couldn't see him anymore. They wonder whether he arrived or not. Where is the assurance that our Lord Jesus arrived in heaven? How do we know if God does not cast him off in some valleys? As the unbelievers, sons of the prophets, told Elijah. We know that our Lord Jesus has arrived in heaven. Why? Because on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given. Our Lord Jesus, as he ascended up to the throne, God anointed him as Lord and King. And this anointing is manifested, is proven, is evidenced by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In Psalm it said, it is as if the holy ointment is poured upon the head of Aaron. It flows down to his beard, and it continues to flow and fill unto the skirt of his garment. The head was anointed. And when the head was anointed, the Holy Spirit came down, and the anointing covered the whole body. That is the experience of the day of Pentecost. So we know that he arrived there. And not only that, you find there is further evidence. Why? Because John, when he was in the island of Patmos, and God gave him vision, he was taken to heaven, and he saw. He saw a lamb, newly slain. And this lamb came and took from the hand of the one who sits upon the throne that little book. And after he took that little book, you'll find worship, praises, honor, adoration, songs, singing of the Redeemer and his redeemed. And he began to open the book. For he alone is worthy. Dear brothers and sisters, I personally feel that probably, you know, Revelation chapter 4 is a review of the glory of the Creator. And in Revelation chapter 5, it is a review of the glory of the Redeemer. Here we find our Lord Jesus ascended up on high as a lamb newly slain. But because of his finished work on the cross, he has overcome the kingdom of darkness. He has found the strong man. He has followed him. He has taken out the captives and set them free. Brothers and sisters, he is worthy to take the world in his hand. Recapture the kingdom for God. And that is what it is. There he took the book, the title deed of the universe. You know, God has never given up his ownership. Even though there is a usurper on earth, a squatter, But God never gave up his ownership. You know, sometimes some people may be squatting in your territory or in your property, and it's very hard to get rid of them. They think that they own it. And you really need some authority and power to cast them out. But who has the authority? Man has fallen into the hand of the enemy. There is no one in heaven, on earth, underneath earth. No one is worthy. No one has the right. No one has authority. No one has the power. No doubt John wept because he thought down. Now we are finished. Now the world is finished. There is no more hope. The kingdom of God was dismissed to heaven. It can never appear on earth. Brothers and sisters, thank God there is one. He has overcome. He is worthy. He has authority, the right, to take the kingdom in his hand. And he has the power to bring it back to him. And that's the opening of the seals. Even though the enemy tried to oppose it, tried to stir up all kinds of plagues, all kinds of wars, rumors of wars, shedding of blood, famine, and pestilence, and all these wars upon this earth, but we find out of it something is born. God is bringing back his kingdom to man. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm really touched by Daniel chapter 7 because it is said that one like a son of man, he came and he was given a kingdom. Why? He is worthy. But when the angel began to explain it to Daniel, he said, the saints of the most high place shall possess the kingdom. And they shall reign forever. You know, the kingdom is given to Christ. But we shall possess the kingdom. As our brother said, you can never divide the head, separate the head and the body. And if the kingdom is given to the head, and he has every right to have it, he has recaptured it. But after he has recaptured it, he did this to his body. And the saint of the most high places, I believe that refers to the church. Because we are seated with him in the heavenlies. And the kingdom is theirs. They are heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. The saints of the most high places shall possess the kingdom. On the one hand, you'll find it is all the work of our Lord Jesus. If he hadn't recaptured it, we will never possess it. But on the other hand, we find the kingdom is a spiritual thing. It is a moral thing. It is not just an external, outward thing. So even though our Lord Jesus has recaptured the kingdom, and he has given it to us, but for us to really possess it, we have to let the character of that one who recaptured the kingdom to characterize. Look back into the book of Acts. I believe every believer loves to read the four chapters of the book of Acts. Why? Because the book of Acts tells us the beginning of the church. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, and here you'll find 120 people. They were baptized into one body. And immediately, you find they began to declare, to proclaim the kingdom of God. Peter stood up, and the 11 stood up with him. There was no more jealousy. There was no more striving. Who is greater? You find that they are of one heart, one mind, one soul, one spirit, one body. And the proclamation of the body of Christ, the first gospel message, is the message of the kingdom. What you have heard and seen is this. God has raised Jesus from the dead. You who have crucified him, the one who was crucified, God has made him Lord and Christ. The kingdom of God on the day of Pentecost became a reality in the lives of the 120 people. They not only proclaim it, they live it. And because of that, you find immediately the power of the kingdom of God was manifested. And 3,000 came in. Very soon you find 4,000. Among this people, whom God has set apart for himself, you find how they persevered in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles, in breaking of bread and prayer. They continue on in the teaching of the apostles. The teaching of the apostles are nothing but the teaching of Christ. They continue on in the fellowship of the apostles. The fellowship of the apostles is the fellowship of the Son and of the Father. As John says in 1 John chapter 1, he said, we have reported to you that which we have seen and heard and so forth, that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship, the fellowship of the apostle, is with the Father and with his Son. They continue on breaking bread. Not just once a year, not just once a month, not just once a week, but you know, in the early days, they broke bread every day. Some people say, this is Saturday. Why should we break bread? This is not Sunday. Brothers and sisters in the early church, you'll find they break bread from house to house and daily. Because they love the Lord. They want to remember him. Their hearts are captured by him. They want to worship him. They want to praise him. And you'll find at that time, God has delivered them completely out of self. The ground of the kingdom of darkness is really undercut among these people. Nobody thinks of himself. People who have properties, and they see all the other brothers and sisters in need. They sold their properties, lay at the feet of apostles, to be distributed to all who need. In other words, there is no more self. Self-possessiveness is one of the strongest instincts in man. We want to possess for ourselves. even with the children. You find they are playing with their toys. And when they are playing with their friends, you'll find how they will snatch a toy out of the hand of the friend, and this is mine. Self-possessiveness is a strong instinct. But here you'll find in the early church that self, the ground upon which the kingdom of darkness was built, is completely uprooted. No self. It is Christ. Oh, how they love one another. You know, the testimony of the early churches, people look at these people and say, now, see how they love one another. They live the kingdom of God. And because they are the kingdom of God, therefore, when they proclaim it, it has power. There is authority there. When the kingdom is proclaimed, without doubt, it is a challenge. You either accept it or you reject it. If you accept it, then you capitulate to Christ. It is not just a matter of taking Christ as your Savior, that you may not go to hell, that one day you may go to heaven. It is a matter of you take Christ as your Lord, as your King, as your Master. You allowed Him to rule over your life. You allow the Holy Spirit to incorporate, to develop, to form Christ in you. And as a people, you put yourself under the headship of Christ. Let Christ be the head. Let His rule be unchallenged. You are the embodiment of the kingdom of God. Or when the kingdom of is preached, you may reject it. You find that it is too costly. You find that the demand is too absolute. And you refuse to accept the lordship of Christ. And when you do that, you find invariably you begin to oppose, to persecute those who believe. The kingdom is never a neutral thing. Either this or that. When the kingdom comes, it is a power, a living power. It either brings people into subjection to Christ, or it will rise up, stir up opposition. And this you find in the book of Acts. When this people traveled, when they spread out, they bring the message with them. And wherever they go, you'll find, thank God, there will be people who surrender to the lordship of Christ. But there are other people who begin to be stirred into jealousy and try to kill and try to destroy. It's always like that. Because the kingdom of God is not a theory. It is a life. It is not a doctrine, a teaching. It is a power. just like our Lord Jesus when He was on earth. People could not take Him. Too hot. So they rejected Him. And they killed Him. There is no middle ground. Dear brothers and sisters, you'll find in the beginning how powerful is the church. The church is the very embodiment of the kingdom of God. The church is a vessel in God's hand. Is the instrument in God's hand to bring in the kingdom of God, to spread the kingdom, bring in the kingdom of God upon this earth. In spite of all oppositions, you'll find the Roman Empire was destroyed. Not the church. But unfortunately, what happened to Israel happened to the church. History repeats itself. Very soon, you know, the power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, tried every way to infiltrate into the kingdom of God and try to destroy from within. You remember in the book of Acts, even in chapter 5. Satan seemed to fill the hearts of a couple, trying to deceive the Holy Spirit. They tried to do something that looks good in order to gain a name for themselves. And you must remember, they are not trying to give a name in the world. They are trying to give a name in the church. But the Holy Spirit was so present. Immediately, the judgment came. The name of the Lord Jesus was exalted. Here you'll find Peter and John said, "Silver and gold we have not. But what we have, we give it to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, rise up and walk." And that cripple rose up, leapt and walked. Leaped and walked. And praising God. The name. Power. But Satan tried every means to infiltrate into it. And in chapter 6 you find there was murmuring. But immediately you find under the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the apostles were able to solve the problem immediately. And not only solve the problem, but actually open a new door. So you'll find many more came to the Lord. The word prospered. And the enemy tried to use outward persecution to destroy the church. But instead, you'll find the church spread. The kingdom of God spread to other cities. From the cities of Judea to Samaria. Philip went to Samaria. He preached the kingdom of God and the things of the Lord Jesus. And many came to the Lord. And the persecuted people, they spread all over to Antioch, Cilicia, all these places. And you'll find the church of God sprang up all around. But even in the days of the apostles, I mean of the early apostles, you'll find the kingdom of darkness try to make an inroad into the kingdom of God. False teachings. False doctrines. False prophets. False teachers, false apostles, Judaizers, trying to corrupt the kingdom of God, trying to change the nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. that he is not all anymore. He is not supreme. Even in salvation, it needs your work. You believe in him and you keep the commandments. Unfortunately, you find when it comes to the end of the first century, the Apostle John, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus, he was exiled into the island of Patmos. And there, God gave him a vision of the seven golden lampstands, with the Son of God in the midst of them, the church, the churches of Asia. And what do you see there? As our brother mentioned last night, you'll find even towards the end of the first century, the reality of the Lordship of Christ has not only been challenged, but has been compromised and even set aside in some of the churches. Man take the place of Christ. No wonder there is no testimony. And because of this, you find the Holy Spirit is calling for repentance. Brothers and sisters, it is not a matter of outward existence. These seven churches existed in Asia at that time. And some of them even continue on. It's not a matter of outward existence. It is a matter of inward quality. Is the church the embodiment of the kingdom of God? Is Christ on the throne of the church? Is he the head of the body? Oh, the Spirit of God calls his people to repent. He who overcomes. Thank God. When Christ recaptured the kingdom and entrusted it to the church seems to have lost it again. The church of God has compromised. But thank God, he is calling in the church, among God's people, those who have ears to hear. And those who are, will respond to him. Those who will repent. Those who will recapture, as it were, that vision, that commission, that entrust. And those who are willing to pay any cost to deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow the Lord. Those who are willing to be unpopular, even hated. But they responded. They respond to the Holy Spirit. To return to the reality of the kingdom of God. No doubt, they will become the target of the enemy. In Daniel chapter 7, you'll find the little horn, the Antichrist. How he will fight against the saints of the most high places. He will wear them out. You know, he will try to bother you and bother you and bother you until finally he wears you out. He will kill. You know, even this thing happened in the last days, but the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. But thank God, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, he said, they overcome him, the accuser. They refer to the man-child. And the man-child is born through the travail of the woman. Out of the travail of the church, you'll find the accompanying, a remnant, overcomers being born. And they overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. The overcomers are not super Christians. The overcomers are not perfect. The overcomers of the church are like the rest of the church. But they know the blood of the Lamb. Whenever they are convicted by the Holy Spirit, they go to the blood of the Lamb. They do not continue on in sin. They do not continue on in self. They do not continue on in the world. Whenever the Holy Spirit convicts them of something that is not of Christ, that is out of the character of Christ, they repent. They claim the blood of the Lord Jesus. They are washed white as snow. Their communion with God is not interrupted. They do not look back. They move on. They overcome the enemy because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. They have a testimony. What is their testimony? Very simple. Jesus is Lord. And because they live it, therefore when they say it, there is power. And they love not their own life, even unto death. They are willing to deny themselves and follow the Lord. Brothers and sisters, when the kingdom of God is formed in a people, they defeat the kingdom of God in their lives. And because of this you find, when the man child is born, he is taken to the throne. And you know, to be taken to the throne, you have to pass through the air. And the air is where the headquarters of the kingdom of darkness is. They have overcome the enemies in their lives so they can thrust through the headquarters of the enemy and reach the throne. And when they reach the throne, Michael and his angels are sent to fight against Satan and his followers. And there's no more place for them in the air. Satan is cast down upon this earth. Who paved the way? The overcomers. They paved the way for the coming of Christ. They paved the way for the day when Christ shall return and he shall rule over the whole earth. It has to be real. in the lives of the people. If not the whole church, then a people in the church. The overcomers. Before it can become a reality upon this earth. Thank God He is calling overcomers everywhere. He who overcomes. He who responds to the calling. The voice of the Spirit of God. And he who will put himself under the lordship of Christ. Jesus is Lord. We are told in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom of God must be preached to all the inhabitable earth, and then the end shall come. The gospel, the glad tidings. Brothers and sisters, you know, the kingdom is the gospel. Sometimes when we think of the kingdom, we are fearful. Because we think it's so heavy. It's so hard. So difficult. So costly. We think it is not a glad tiding. It is a woe tiding. It's better that we do not hear it. Oh, we just need to hear the gospel of grace. God forgives me. He saves me. He allows me to go to heaven and live there forever. We do not want to hear of the gospel of the kingdom. We think it is not a gospel. But dear brothers and sisters, the kingdom is the gospel. There is no blessing more blessed than when you put yourself under the lordship. One day when the whole earth shall be under his rule. What a blessing it is. Even the sun will be 7 times brighter than today. And you can stand it and enjoy it. The lion will lie down with the lamb. Nothing will hurt in the whole hill of God. A child can play at the serpent's hole. Peace, love, everything that is God's character. His character rules over the earth. There is no blessing more blessed than that. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom is the gospel. And this kingdom has to be preached, heralded, proclaim, announce. Let it be announced to all the habitable earth. Let everybody hear about it. But of course, you cannot announce it if it is not real in you. It must first be real in you. The kingdom is in you. Then you can announce it to the world. And more will be brought into the kingdom of God. Then the end shall come. When Christ shall put all things under his feet, then he will give all things back to God, that God may be all and in all. Brothers and sisters, we often think of the Great Commission. Go ye, therefore. Preach the glad tidings. That people may be saved. That heaven may be filled. Empty hell and fill heaven. No. Here our Lord Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth have been given to me. Brothers and sisters, what is it? He has recaptured the kingdom. All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, go. In the authority and the power of God, we go. Disciple all nations. What does it mean? It means that help people to be put under the discipline of Christ. That people may be under the rulership of Christ. That is the kingdom. Baptizing them to the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why baptizing them? Because baptism is a public confession. It is an expression of our faith. God has already taken us out of the power of darkness and then translated us into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. God has done it. And now, I take baptism. In other words, I respond to that. I say, yes, God has taken me out of the power of darkness. I'm out. I'm buried with Christ. God has translated me into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Yes, I step over. I come out of the water. I belong to Him. That's why. It is a step of faith. It is the beginning of a life of discipleship. It is saying now, I give up myself to you. You can do anything you like with me. And the Lord said, teaching them all things that I have enjoined you. Teach them the kingdom. Tell them the things about me. And I will be with you until the end of the ages. Dear brothers and sisters, the church is not only the embodiment of the kingdom of God, the church is the herald of the kingdom. We have a responsibility not only to receive the kingdom, but to preach the kingdom. That the kingdom may extend. That stone will smash the image and will grow and become a great mountain. One day the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. May the Lord help us, shall we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to praise and thank Thee because it is all of Thy good pleasure. It is all by the finished work of Christ. It is all by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, our Father, all we can do is give us vision. Enable us to surrender ourselves to Thee. Give up our rights and let Thee have full sway over us. Not only individually, but together. That Thy kingdom may become a reality in us today. Lord, that we may be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the name of our Lord Jesus.